Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Nick Cale is out today taking care of some sick little ones there. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing as well. We've got Chicago Bears intern back there. Sorry about that. Go Packers. Here's my question for you, Derek, as we begin the an hour of Titans conversation heading into a football weekend. Teron Davenport going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes. What I want to know from you, former NFL superstar, if you're okay with me calling you a superstar. Here's my question. There is now a week of tape that Ryan Tannehill has put down that other coordinators can look at, that we know that Tampa Bay is going to look at. And we know this is the NFL. You got to make adjustments. So you cannot assume that what their game plan was against the Chargers and what worked against that defense and what, you can tell me what you saw, but I saw a lot of crossing routes. I saw a lot of curls. I saw a lot of underneath stuff, not a lot of deep shots. They didn't run the ball particularly well against the Chargers until the fourth quarter. Here's my question. Now that you've put one game on tape and you've done a good job, what adjustments does Arthur Smith and this offense and Tannehill have to make to stay ahead of the chain, so to speak, when it comes to the scouting report? What the Bucs are going to do based on what they saw last week? Because this is what Belichick does, right? Mm-hmm. Belichick shows you one thing one week and then gives you something totally different the next week because he wants to keep you on your heels. What does Arthur Smith need to do? Because I don't think you can expect to go out and do exactly what you did last week.
No, you can't. I think there's a sort of a book on Tannehill already.
Certainly.
Yeah. So teams know who he is and how to kind of get to him. But teams are still trying to sort of figure out Arthur Smith in a sense. I think Arthur Smith we've seen what he is the last, six games of the season. He's a guy that's going to stay committed to the run game, and he's going to do a lot of intermediate passing. He's going to take his shots up the field, but everything is predicated on him sticking with the run. Now, if you look at Tampa and their defense, and this is what I think the Titans are going to do. Because Tampa struggles with the pass, I think you're going to see a lot of short passes, a lot of slants, a lot of nine stops, a lot of under routes by these receivers, allowing these 6'2", 6'3", receivers to get the ball in their hands. They are physical runners. Get the ball in their hands and then break tackles. Hargraves is a small guy. I believe Davis, he's not a big guy either. They're going to try to use their size and their physicality against these smaller defensive backs. And when I say size and physicality and they're going to use it to their advantage, I just said they're going to do a lot of slants, I believe. Get the ball into these guys' hands very quickly and then let them do the running, because we've already seen the three guys, well, really four with Delaney. Delaney, Janu, Corey Davis, and A.J. Brown. When they get the ball in their hands, it's very difficult to tackle them.
Yep.
They usually break one or two tackles and get an extra yard or two. So if I can get the ball in their hands very quickly, because they're not going to play press coverage, if I get the ball in their hands very quickly, then I could give them guys an opportunity to get up the field and run, use their big frame and break tackles. So I see that as what what Arthur Smith is going to do, and then still lean heavy on the run game. So I don't know if – I mean
– So if I'm Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
I know that, right?
Yeah.
I'm Todd Bowles. I look at our matchup against A.J. Brown and Corey Davis on the outside, and I agree with you. I think Janu – it will be fascinating to see how – what Delanie Walker's usage rate will be. He only played 5 snaps last week. Janu played most of it. I think Pruitt played a lot of snaps as well. What if I'm Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know that that's going to be the approach. Mm-hmm. How do you then, if you're Todd Bowles, knowing that's going to happen, what do you do?
There's not much you can do. I mean, you could try to disguise your defense. You got to try to confuse the offensive line. You got to try to confuse the quarterback with disguising, getting into your coverage very, very late. But can they do that and still cover guys on the back end? I don't think they can. They're going to have to play it honest, take chances when they can, but play it honest like they have been with every other team they play before the Tennessee Titans. You know, they've used those front seven to try to make teams one-dimensional. And if they can try to make the Titans one-dimensional, then they have a better shot at having some success on defense. But Arthur Smith, I don't think, will allow you to make him one-dimensional because he's going to stick with the run. That's what he's – Yeah. That's one thing he has done. He hasn't abandoned the run, unless they've gotten down. But he hasn't abandoned the run. He's stuck with the run.
Yeah, outside of the Jacksonville game, where they truly were in like 2-minute offense for like the entirety of the second half, they have largely stuck with the run, even when it's picking up 1.8 yards
exactly.
a carry, whatever. Here's the thing, though. Tampa Bay, that is what they do best, is stop the run. So I think you can expect a similar first three quarters against the Chargers as you can against Tampa Bay, where – there's not going to be a lot of room to run, but you've got to keep people honest with it.
Yeah, you do. And I'm trying to figure out, I wonder if a lot of this is teams knowing they can exploit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers through the air. So, you know, they choose to throw the ball rather than run the ball. Yes, they did a great job at shutting McCaffrey down, but McCaffrey is a smaller back. And if you hit him, you know, if you consistently hit him, then eventually he's going to wear down. It's a really good back, but eventually he's going to wear down. That's not Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
Derrick
right,
Henry
exactly.
is the guy that you hit him, he's going to keep coming. And by the fourth quarter, you're going to look up, and he's going to have close to 100 yards. Now, he might not be at 4 yards a clip, but he might be close to it. So I'm trying to figure out, is it a byproduct of teams just knowing they can throw the football on Tampa? I'm not taking anything away from their front seven, but – sometimes when you look at teams like that, it's because they lack in one area. So teams choose not. After a few times,
right.
teams choose to just, you know, work against their weakness.
Well, and against, and as our guest yesterday from Tampa, Greg Allman, said, you know, covers the team. Carolina was giving the ball to Christian McCaffrey in a blowout situation. They were up big on Tampa, and they didn't care
exactly.
that they were getting 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, 4 yards, 1 yard. Like, they didn't care.
And
because
that helped their average.
That helps the stats for Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, there's not much to me. There's not much to figure out with Arthur Smith because I think he is who he is. He's going to call the game plan based upon his personnel. Now, how do you, you know, having watched Tannehill for a game now, because he hadn't played in a while, how do you now, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, take what you've seen, go back and watch some film or preseason and maybe even last year with him with the Dolphins and see, does he have some of those same tendencies that he's had in preseason and in Tampa, and in Miami? And if he does, then try to exploit that. Is he still doing some of the same things that he was doing in Miami?
Derrick Henry talking about the Tampa Bay defense, quote, they have a very good scheme, guys who play hard, high. They have high effort. They finish on plays. Hats off to them because they've been good at it all year, and it's going to be a tough week with tough yards. So Derrick Henry knows what his role is this week. I am fascinated by Delanie Walker. So how about this? We'll give you an injury update, an injury report when we come back, as well as the other side of the ball, Dean Pease against Bruce Arians. Doesn't get any better than that, boys. So we'll get to that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. NFL fans, do not miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 7 to 9:30 a.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks. NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Injuries from yesterday, cornerback Adoree Jackson, Sharif Finch, and tight end Delanie Walker did not practice yesterday on Thursday. Corey Davis did not practice on Wednesday. He was back on the practice field on Thursday. Jayon Brown looks to be back on the practice field yesterday as well, although limited, but looks like he's ready to go. Jarrell Casey, Jack Conklin, Nate Davis, Rashawn Evans, Wesley Woodyard, all on the injury report, but all were on the practice field. So really just Adoree Jackson, Sharif Finch, and Delanie Walker, the three names you're kind of circling right now as far as injuries go. So we'll keep an eye on those decisions as game time gets closer. Any thoughts on the injuries? I mean, first of all, Conklin and Davis practicing is a really big deal. It means they have their full complement of offensive linemen. And then Jayon Brown being back is a huge piece of news as well.
Yeah, they need all hands on deck, their offensive line, because you're going to get the defensive front that's pretty good. So that's encouraging. Hopefully, you know, they can, you know, last the whole game, Conklin and Davis. Having Janu back, Brown back, it allows them, and I like Wesley Woodyard. Everybody likes
Wesley. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. But he doesn't have the speed to cover backs and tight ends that he used to have. He's a first, second down linebacker that has trouble covering on third down. He's still a viable piece on his defense leadership, and he's going to play hard and physical, but he's lost the step or two. And, you know, having Brown back as their linebacker, he allows you to do some things within the defensive scheme that you were not able to do when he was out. So he can cover the linebacker. I mean, he can cover the tight ends. He can cover the running backs out the backfield. So that's a plus for them.
All right, so Mike Vrabel had a couple of comments yesterday. You could argue of any NFL matchup you're going to see this year, it's hard to imagine a better, more cerebral, more talented coaching matchup than Bruce Arians on offense and Dean Pease on defense. Bruce Arians, the head coach for the Tampa Bay Bucks, a genius of the offensive sort. And, of course, Dean Pease, we know how good Dean Pease is as it pertains to designing a defense. This was Dean Pease speaking about taking advantage of the Bucks' philosophy and sort of just how Jameis Winston lets it rip and sort of what Dean Pease's strategy is going to be against Bruce Arians.
I don't know if you can take advantage. It's still going to end up when it all is said and done. He rips it back there. If he rips it deep to Evans, you still got to be able to go up and make the play. At some point in time, all zone coverages turn into one-on-ones down the field. You know, somebody had said something about one of our corners playing better in man than he was in zone. And I think he was referring to a certain play that I think he thought we were in zone and we weren't. We were actually in man. Once the ball gets 15 yards down the field, whether you're in cover three or you're in man coverage, who's on him? The corner. It's one-on-one. So you can't double everybody. I mean, and they got dynamic receivers. I mean, number 12 is just like all the rest of the guys we've been seeing every week. I mean, he's a great receiver, and we know a lot about Mike Evans from, you know, the past. But his philosophy, whatever, we got to play the plays. We got to do a good job. We got to be attention to detail on all that we do. It's really more about us doing our thing than it is about him doing his.
Us about us doing our thing and they doing their thing. I can't wait to see the Arians P's X's and O's matchup. These two guys are as good as it gets from a coaching standpoint. And while Arthur Smith, we're not sure, you know, we're still learning about it. Tannehill, backup quarterback, playing well. You know, the offense is what it is, and the Bucs defense is not very good, particularly in the secondary. But it's the other way around on this side of the ball. It should be one heck of a coaching matchup.
Yeah, it should be. You have, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we know what their flaws are. We know Jameis, he can throw, you know, interceptions in bunches. But then he also can play really well. It's like Jekyll and Hyde with Jameis Winston. You just don't know which one you're going to get. This is a team that's averaging close to basically 30 points a game. They're averaging 28.8 points a game. And then on the other side, the Titans are only giving up 16 points a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, something's going to give. And you just hope that having Jayon Brown back, but then, you know, Jackson hadn't practiced. Him possibly being out, how will that hurt the defense and what they do? Because I've always screamed and yelled for the LeSean Sims project.
But then the project happens, and you go to the concert,
exactly.
And you don't like the show.
They don't like the show.
Like, so. You played only new songs, LeSean. Play your old ones.
Exactly. So how do the Tennessee Titans, you know, react if a Dory Jackson, you know, can't play? If a Dory Jackson can't go, then who plays it? Does LeSean Sims come in? Or do you say, you know what? We got Amani Hooker. We got Vaccaro. We got Byard.
Yeah.
We have safe. We can bring Byard down, and he can cover the third receiver. So we can kind of be multiple.
I could see Amani Hooker playing a much bigger role if Adoree Jackson's limited.
Absolutely. So we can go multiple because we got guys that are interchangeable.
Yep.
So it might not be a big problem for Dean Pease if Jackson can't play. But, you know, I just want to see, you know, the back and forth chess match with Bruce Arians. But a lot of it, you know, as everybody knows, a lot of it depends on, you know, Jameis Winston.
This is what Dean Pease had to say about the Tampa Bay quarterback, Jameis Winston.
Well, the thing of it is, he's also, I've seen him in a game against the L.A. Rams where he lit it up. So, you know, as a defensive coordinator, I very seldom look at things that guys don't do well. I look at things that guys do well. Because I'm always going to look at, we got to stop the things that they do best. And when he's hot and on time and throws, he's got a strong arm. Saw it out here in practice a year ago when they were here. I mean, he can wing it now. So we got to do a good job of defending that. And so too much stock sometimes is put, you know, a guy has, I mean, the guy from the Jets may go out next week and throw for 400 yards. He had a bad day. Okay, and that's just how it is. And I've heard all these things about, you know, guys have a great day or have a really bad day. Well, yeah, this guy's not very good, and then the next week they light it up. So, you know, Brady's as good as there's ever been, but a year ago we took care of business out here. So it's more about us than it really sometimes is about them.
Ooh, little shot at Tommy.
Yeah.
Hey, Brady's the greatest ever played. We dominated his.
Yeah, but his rear end.
Yeah, yeah. His rumpus.
But Dean is right. It's about, you know, we know what potential problems the Tampa Bay offense presents, and that's those two receivers on the outside.
Malcolm Butler's going to need to be good.
Exactly. Yeah. But if we do what we need to do, then what we have been doing for the past six games, then, you know, we will be fine. We just need to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, play the technique we're supposed to play. And if we got an opportunity to get an interception for recovery like we did last week, then we got to do it.
Yeah, and you know what helps all of that? Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
Helps every single body on that defense gets helped, whether it's Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, whether it's Casey and the outside linebackers, whether it's the corners, and say everybody is helped by the job that Jeffrey Simmons does. The question is, how many plays is he going to play? And, you know, a 25 snap count limit is probably pretty reasonable. What did he have, 21 snaps, I think, something like that last week, which is pretty remarkable considering it's the first possible chance he could return from the injury, and he did it, and he played a huge role on a goal line stand. Like, you could not write the fairy tale script of Jeffrey Simmons beginning his Titans career any better than what it was. He's getting doubled earlier in the game. He picks up a sack in a critical spot, and then he makes two huge plays around the goal line by blowing up the center on back-to-back goal line stand plays. Like, you couldn't write the script for Jeffrey Simmons any better. I don't know how many plays he's gonna have this week. I'm assuming it's a slight increase every week, right? You just kind of slowly bring him along. But from a physicality standpoint, from a game readiness standpoint, he did not look overmatched, Derek, and that's rare for a rookie.
No, it's it's you're full of, you know, piss and vinegar, as they would say.
The meter is still full.
Exactly. Yeah. And he came out and he played like strong and he was physical and he was a young guy, just full of everything. It's how do you come back the second game? The soreness has set in.
Yeah.
And how do you come back the second game? If he's fully healthy, I see him like if he never had the injury at all and he was fully healthy, I think he plays, you know, 35 plays, somewhere around that 30 to 40 plays per game. I still see him playing 25 to 30 plays now because they rotate defensive linemen so much that they only want to get like 40 plays out of a guy like that.
Right.
And you have him in there on crucial downs. You make sure you have him on crucial third and long.
Yeah, the guys who play 100% of the snaps on defense are like Kevin Byard.
Exactly. The defensive backs.
Jayon Brown maybe, but mostly it's the safeties and the defensive backs that are out there on every play. Even Jarrell Casey is more of like a 70% of the snaps kind of guy. You average about 55, 60 snaps on defense a game. So 30 is about half. Mm-hmm. And you know, Daquan Jones has had a pretty good year, so it's not like you have to rush. It's not like you have this glaring hole
exactly.
in the defense. You have time to be patient, to bring along Jeffrey Simmons, which is, again, another luxury that Dean Pease has. This defense is only going to get better, and Jeffrey Simmons is all of the things so far. Again, only one game. We need a lot more data to analyze, but he's exactly what they drafted so far. Again, one game. Couldn't have written the script any better. Obviously, we're talking Titans. The Preds did get a big win last night, 4-0 over Minnesota. They'll play Tampa coming up on Saturday, tomorrow evening. We'll talk with Terry Crisp in hour number three. But when we come back, Teron Davenport going to join us to break down the Bucks and Titans Week 8. We'll do that right here on Morning Drive. Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Nick Kale not with us today. Still alive, taking care of the kids. Munson spinning the hits. Teron Davenport joining us here from ESPN, talking with TD as well. Teron, how are you, my friend? What's up, dude?
I'm doing really well, man. The Big Daddy Kane, ain't no half stepping.
All right. TD, I was about to say, what you know about that? Music.
I like it.
Teron,
we need
to have a high top fade. Come on, you ain't got a high top fade.
I did have a high top fade, no box with the step in it. Pops wasn't having that though.
Teron, can we have you on for two segments to just talk music, the first segment, and then Titans football, the second segment from now on? Is that okay?
Hey, we could do that, man. We could do that. I'll take you back to 83 now. Houdini, friends, you know what I mean? We could go Grandmaster Flash.
I was 2 years old. Teron, let me ask you something about adjustments that Arthur Smith should make preemptively. What Belichick is so great at doing and the great coaches are great at doing is they know they put something on tape. They know people are going to react to that. They try to preemptively make adjustments. Tannehill now has a week of tape where Todd Bowles can look at what they did last week. What do you anticipate, if anything, from Arthur Smith as far as adjustments go to try to anticipate what Tampa Bay is going to take away?
I think they're going to, I don't really think they have to make adjustments, honestly, because Tampa's offense, or defense rather, they're dead last against the pass. So I think it's really going to be just go out there and continue to do what they do, which is going to be get the ball out of Tannehill's hands and into Corey Davis, A.J. Brown's hands, and let them make plays. So I don't really think there's going to have to be adjustments. I think there may be an adjustment in the rushing game in that they're going to have to really find ways to get Derrick Henry downhill so that way he could get those yards that he's capable of getting.
Now, we assume because Nate Davis and Conklin has practiced that they will be available for this upcoming game unless they have a setback. Having them now back in the lineup against this front seven, do you think – because what I've said about Arthur Smith is one thing. Other than the Jacksonville game, he's been committed to the run no matter what. He's been committed to the run. Yep. He stayed with it, hella high water. That's what he's done. Now that these two guys are back and we assume they're going to play, do you think he does the same thing? Stick with the run, knowing that come fourth quarter, that's when Derrick Henry typically starts to get to going, into the third, fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think he is going to stick with it. But the thing is, you mentioned Nate Davis and Jack Conklin. Both of those guys are going to have a handful. Shaq Barrett rushes the passer from both sides. And then you got Vita Vey and Dominican Sue. And those guys are serious factors in the running game. So when you look at just having to keep a guy from being able to get that disruption, get into the backfield and reroute the running back, which is basically what Jeffrey Simmons does all 21 snaps that he played, they have to make sure that they don't allow that interior penetration. And that's something that really Sue, that's what he brings to the table. And, you know, Vita Vey, you got to move him off of the block when they want to run inside the tackle. So I think he'll stick to the run. But Nate Davis, Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, they're going to be key parts of that.
Teron Davenport joining us here from ESPN covering all things Tennessee Titans. And on the other side of the ball, we know Jameis Winston can light you up for 405 touchdowns. We know he can turn the ball over five or six times. We literally saw it the last time he played. Mike Evans is a dynamic playmaker, and Malcolm Butler played very well against Julio Jones. I assume he's going to be matched up a lot with Mike Evans. Can they do the same thing they did to Julio Jones as they can? Can they do that to Mike Evans?
Yeah, they could do it, but then you have Chris Godwin, who is putting up really good numbers on the opposite side of him that's going to eat. So it's going to depend on, you know, if they're going to really bracket and get physical with Mike Evans, they have to be ready to take on Chris Godwin one-on-one, and that's quite a task to ask a corner to do it. I think that the guys would be up to it. But remember, Adoree Jackson has a practice this week. So it might end up being LeSean Sims. So we'll see what happens there. But I think, you know, you definitely have to focus on Mike Evans. I mean, he's a guy, you know, he was a really good basketball player in high school. He could have went D1 playing basketball. So no doubt about it, they throw the back shoulder, they throw the oop, you know, just let him go up and get it. 50-50 turns into 75-25 with him. So it's definitely a matchup to watch.
Now, another, I guess, sort of matchup that I would love to see, and I want to know how it's going to affect the game, or if it affect the game at all, because we know Delanie Walker didn't play many snaps last week, whether it be because of injury or whatever. He didn't play many snaps last week. I'm pretty sure he's still sort of hobbled this week. Do you anticipate seeing him on the field or not a lot, or do you think because of the way Jonnu Smith played last week, you're going to start to see more and more of Jonnu rather than Delanie? And even possibly, and we've talked about this before, the trade deadline is coming up pretty soon. And if Jonnu has another really good game, what does that mean for Delanie?
Yeah, I think Delanie, I don't think he's going to see the field this week, honestly. He hasn't practiced. We haven't seen him in the locker room since Sunday. Right, and then in the locker room at the facility, we haven't seen him since Friday. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with him. He only played five snaps, so I would imagine he doesn't play at all. And that's something that I asked the coach. I asked Vrabel about, and I asked Arthur Smith both about Jonnu Smith and how he's stepping up in his place. And they both acknowledged, you know, what Smith is able to do. You saw him on that third and 14, mm-hmm. caught a 5-yard pass, took a 35 yards, saw him on the back shoulder throw to start the game. He's clearly a factor. Like Jonnu is establishing himself as a legit pass catcher. I would imagine, because they still like to go 12 personnel, right? And you'll have Pruitt as the fullback type, and Jonnu in line, and they'll do different things with that, and they'll mix Ferkser in. Right now, I don't know that they need to play Delanie. And then on top of that, you know, you talk the trade thing, and we did talk about that. And I tell you, Seattle is a perfect place for Delanie Walker. Now, when you talk about trading a guy like that, though, there's a lot of emotions involved, right? Mm-hmm. Fans, coaches, fellow players, I mean, they look at Delanie as, you know, he's a pillar of this franchise, right? So, I mean, it would take a lot to do it, but, you know, it's business. Right, so if they decide that they do that, sending him to Seattle would be good. As I said, the Seahawks, they always have that thing with former 49ers. They love to acquire them. So I could see that being a mix, especially with Will Disley being out with the Achilles.
Well, Teron, I was going to ask you about the trade deadline and just sort of how is John Robinson watching this game, is if he sees enough out of Nate Davis and Jack Conklin or Saffold, does he just sort of ignore the deadline altogether? We talked about Delanie Walker being an option. He's made big trades, but none of them around the deadline. He's gone and gotten DeMarco Murray, got Tannehill. He's got no problem making trades during the draft. We haven't seen him do much during the deadline. Where is it that you would be looking if you're John Robinson, if you're talking about moving a piece off his current roster and then acquiring a piece from somebody else?
Yeah, I would be looking, obviously, interior offensive line, but I think they're willing to give Nate Davis a chance to work into that role. I think edge rusher, you know, edge defender would be an area that I would look at. I think Kyler Fackrell over there in Green Bay would be an excellent match. You know, they obviously went to Green Bay already to get Reggie Gilbert, but I think those would be the two areas that I would look. But I don't really think this team absolutely has to make a trade, though. But at the same time, you talk about John Robinson having been, you know, relatively quiet around the trade deadline. But, you know, this is a different NFL, right? You're seeing more and more trades starting to reflect the NBA. So you never know, something, a bomb could drop, and, you know, we all could be sitting here scratching our heads, figuring out what to say and what to write. And, you know... and have a pleasant surprise, you know, something really new to talk about.
Hey, Teron, what does a really effective, good game for Derrick Henry look like? You talked about the front line there for Tampa with all those first-round draft picks. What does a good game, a productive, successful game for Derrick Henry look like on Sunday?
I would say 18 carries for 90-plus yards and two touchdowns. I think that's a productive game. That means that they were able to go to him in the red zone, and that means that, you know, he was able to get a good amount of carries and make something happen with him.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I would say that's a huge game,
yeah,
Teron.
against
the number one rushing defense. Teron, can I ask you for a prediction? Or because I'm out of the prediction business. I don't do it anymore, so I just asked all my guests to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask me for a prediction. I said in our write-up that we have to submit, I said 27-24. The Bucs are allowing around 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. They've scored 24-plus in the last four games, so obviously they'll be looking to do that. And it'll be interesting because the Titans haven't allowed a team to score over 20 points. But I think this Bucs offense, what they bring to the table is as good as any offense the Titans have faced. But in 27-24, Titans win, and you know, it's another victory at Nissan Stadium.
Quickly, we got about a minute here, less than a minute. If they don't win this game, what then do we think about Vrabel?
Consistently inconsistent, and what we think is he didn't do what he set out to do coming into this year, and be a more consistent team coach and group of players.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, all over 102.5 The Game. You got the podcast. Thanks a lot, man. We do appreciate it.
For sure. Appreciate you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Teron Davenport there from ESPN, one of the best in the business at breaking down the Titans. I do want to ask you, because you mentioned, you know, you were asking that question there at the end, Derek. You said, well, if they don't win this game, my brain immediately went to, what does that do to the deadline?
Okay.
How does that change the way we view, does John Robinson look at his team differently? Is he more likely to go all in? Is he more likely to sell a piece like Delanie Walker? What does the outcome on Sunday do to the Titans' trade deadline possibilities? I want to get into that when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Nick Kale out, taking care of some sick kiddos. Munson producing. By the way, somebody on Twitter said that if you screw up, you got Munsoned, which of course is a reference to Kingpin. So are you okay with that? Just whenever you screw up or maybe fire. Remember it was a couple days ago you played some audio on the show? Was it yesterday? You played some audio on the show totally accidentally?
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, everybody screws up on the show, man. It's just that's what we do, man.
Well, and we screw up far more than you do.
Yeah.
So we get Munsoned way more than you do.
You got Munsoned.
Ironically. Here's my question about the trade deadline, which is coming up October 29th, which again is next week, midweek. And I'm just curious, if you lose to the Buccaneers because you cannot block Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vey, and all those guys on the defensive line, they're a good rushing defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose in your three, so to me, I think it presents a really difficult situation for John Robinson. Because on one hand, you're looking at your team and you're going, all right, we're 3-5. What are the chances we make the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
That's slim, right?
Yeah.
You could still do it, but it's slimmer for sure than if you go 4-4. But if you look at your offensive line and they get dominated, you're sitting there staring at a glaring weakness. It's telling you you've got to do something about your offensive line. What does a loss – you had a great question. What does a loss do for Mike Vrabel? What does a loss do for the trade deadline and John Robinson? That's what I want to know.
It all depends on how the loss occurs. If they lose because, once again, the offensive line was dominated, then I think – You got to look long and hard at possibly bringing in more depth before the trade deadline, because you looked at the Chargers defensive line last week, and they're not the scariest defensive line. So your offensive line did what they were supposed to do; they blocked pretty well, only gave up 2 sacks. But if they then turn around against a much better defensive line and they give up 3 or 4 sacks, then I think
and can't run the football
exactly
with Derek
can't
Henry.
Run the football yeah. effectively. I think then it's the responsibility of the GM to say, okay, what do we do in regards to trades before the trade deadline? Can we bring in another piece to be a potential, you know, depth guy until we work him in to the offense? But if they lose in a different fashion, then and the offensive line plays well, but they just lose, you know, maybe because of turnover or the defense play uncharacteristically bad.
Right.
Then I think you could say, okay, we're fine with the offensive line. But, you know, history tells us this, you know, the last couple of years that the offensive line, you know, they're up and down as the team is up and down.
Well, and if you lose, you're sitting at 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
And there's less reason to go for it, meaning go for the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
to make a trade, get rid of Delanie Walker to go get a piece that helps you, or whatever the trade may look like for John Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
There's less of a reason to go for it. Here's what I think would be interesting. If your offensive line played terribly, but you still figured out a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're 4-4. You're feeling good about your playoff chances, but you still feel questionable about your offensive line. That's, I think, the scenario that may push John Robinson into exploring options more, mm-hmm. right? Like if you still figure out a way to beat Tampa with your offensive line, let's say Derrick Henry has 13 carries for 38 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They don't run the football well. Tannehill sacked a few times, but they win 21-17 because their defense is great and because Tampa can't stop the pass. So they figure out a way to win, and they're 4-4. All right, you're feeling good. You've won 2 straight. You still got a chance to make the playoffs, right? In an AFC that's totally wide open. But you still have questions,
mm-hmm.
about the things that we still already have questions about, right? The offensive line, for example. That's, to me, the scenario where I could see John Robinson being more likely to make a move. Because then you're still in the race, but you still have a question, right?
Yeah, you could say, well, you know, like Dallas did, like, you know, the Rams or Baltimore, we're going for it now. We're still in the hunt. We're going for it. This is our last push to continue to stay in the race. So we trade a guy away to get another piece that's going to help us down the line.
I mean, New England was in desperate need of another player.
Yeah, they needed.
They were teetering.
They needed somebody.
Teetering on the brink of being irrelevant. The
exactly.
New England Patriots. So they went and got Mohamed Sanu.
They went and got Sanu. But
cool.
Then they traded away Michael Bennett. So that's
true.
But that would be, you know, that would be the interesting thing. If the Titans win, but the offensive line doesn't play as great.
Right?
And then what does John Robinson Vrabel, what do they do then? Do they say, man, we're 4-4, we're still right in it.
We've got one of the best defenses
exactly.
in the NFL.
Do we make that move? Because I believe they have some guys with value. Well, I know they have some guys with value that they could potentially trade. And at the top of my list, not because he can't play, I think the guy still can play for another 2 or 3 years possibly, is Delanie Walker.
It
has nothing to do with his play. I just think they're phasing out of him, and it happens to everybody.
Look, sure, maybe there's an ankle injury. And I'm there is an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
But for five snaps,
yeah,
with your helmet on, standing on the sideline, looked a little weird. Teron just said he might not play at all, a single snap this week. Now, I realize he hasn't practiced, so okay, but you haven't seen him in the facility, in the locker room since Friday? Now, I know he's been there, but like you, as a media collective, Teron says, we haven't seen him since last Friday.
And even
what
a young, like a year ago, 2 years ago, Delanie Walker, if he's injured, we would still hear him saying, I'm getting ready.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to play. You know, I'm going to play. We hadn't heard anything.
I'm starting, like, listen, you were right about Taywan Taylor in the preseason. You start to get your spidey senses start tingling, right?
Yeah.
You start tingling about Taywan Taylor. You're like, well, he's not doing this, and he's not, and we're not talking to him, and he's not doing, and you start to, all the triggers, right? Mm-hmm. They go off in your head, like, oh, this is weird. Something's up. It feels the same thing.
Exactly.
We're not saying he's getting traded here. And listen, I think the Titans are better with Delanie Walker than without him. Call a spade a spade on that one. But you've said this for a week and a half now, that all your spidey senses are tingling right now.
And I just think after this game, if they win this game, I think they still got to make some type of move. Now, whether they make that move or not, we don't know. But I think if they win this game, they're still in the hunt. You got to do something to say, you know what, we're going for it this year. Because, yes, I think this is a good team if they stay status quo. But is this team status quo good enough beat Houston, beat Indianapolis?
Yeah.
You know, and then they got to beat Jacksonville again. They got to beat Jacksonville because they've already lost to them.
Interesting idea. What do you think of Teron talking about going out and looking at an outside linebacker? I mean, you're already so good on defense. That would just make them even better.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if that helps them as much.
But you can say, look, we're gonna put all of our eggs in the defensive basket, and we're gonna make sure that teams are averaging. We're giving up 16 points. Well, we want to give up 13 points. Or 12 points a game. So our defense our offense only has to score, you know, two touchdowns rather than three touchdowns.
Right.
So they can go that route. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's a bad route to go down, you know? So.
Well, listen, I'm fascinated by the deadline, A, because it's become more of a thing in the NFL, which has made it more interesting, frankly.
I think.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good for the sport, no question. It also, because they pushed it back, it means you allow your coaches and GMs to evaluate teams further along, and you know what you need, you know what you have. It's all a little bit better. Special circumstances here. Normally we would go to break right now, but because Tyreekus is on the phone, we're going to take Tyreekus here. Tyreekus, what's up, man?
Yo, man, y'all did it just for me, man.
Yeah, just for you, dude.
Man, quick. Okay, listen, man, I heard somebody say something about Vrabel. If we lose this game, they will label Vrabel as an inconsistent coach. But when you think about it.
Oh, Tyreekus.
I did not go to break just for you, Tyreekus.
Amy, everybody keep on trying to pour pressure. Marcus is the guy. Marcus is the guy. And Marcus is the one that's been inconsistent. You remember the year our offensive line.
All right.
Yeah, Tyreek is just killing us. We held on for you, Tyreek.
I was going to go to break.
And you got that darn cricket phone. Gosh, Tyreek.
Unless Cricket wants to advertise.
Yeah, unless Cricket wants to advertise.
Then we'll take your money.
Exactly.
No free ads. Listen, I was going to go to break, and Tyreek is on the phone. It sounded like he was all fired up with his energy there.
He was fired up.
Oh, well.
Damn you, Tyreekus. You're still our boy.
It's all right. He was saying something negative about Mariota, so I messed with the signal. all right. When we come back, Lee Sterling, of course, from Paramount Sports, going to get you guys ready for the gambling weekend. Want to remind you also, Terry Criff coming up in hour number three as the Preds win last night 4-0 over the Minnesota Wild. They're back on the ice tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock. Lee Sterling, a little gambling expertise for your weekend when we come back. Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.